With you, I just wanted to continue to talk about kind of the big, a couple of big themes about Galatians before we get into the actual series on the fruit of the Spirit starting next week. And so, again, you know, I just encourage you as we go into these over the next several weeks, I want you to think about the fruit of the Spirit not as something that you have to live up to, as some kind of religious ideal or like standard that you have to have, but may our hearts burn for more of the Lord, to be filled, to be consumed, to be equipped, to be transformed from the inside out. May we be so in love with God that the change happens naturally as we submit to Him with our hearts, right? Not something we have to try and earn or perform, but He is calling us to love. He's calling us to joy. He's calling us to have peace and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control and all those things, because it's what He produces in us when we surrender to Him. Amen? All right. And so in Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so just like Danielle said, there's something that changes when we surrender our life to Him. And He begins to bring peace and hope and joy. And it's all about learning to give our life to Him. It's all about relationship. It's all about actually hearing His voice and what He has to say to us. And it's a response of faith and belief. And so, God, I just pray that in our hearts over the next several weeks as we study Galatians 5, I pray that we would be changed. I pray that we'd be transformed. I pray that we'd discover Your faithfulness and Your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of the big themes that in Galatians that Paul goes after is, one of them we talked about this last week a bit, is freedom, right? Freedom not to do whatever we want, right? Not to, the heart of the gospel is that we are saved so that we can be free of sin, free of that bondage, free of condemnation and guilt and shame, and have life in Christ. That we can actually be free to be all that we've been created to be. So it's not a license to go be a jerk to somebody. It's not like, hey, I was saved, I said a prayer once, and now I can go do whatever I want and it doesn't matter, right? What we're set free to do is to actually love people well. We're set free to actually live in joy, to experience peace, to have hope, to be faithful, to be patient, to be strong. And so we're set free to have intimacy with God, to choose Him over sin, to experience, you know, the fullness of Christ in our lives. It's again, God's heart is that we go back to that original design in the Garden of Eden, that we can walk with Him and talk with Him, and that's what Jesus paid for on the cross. We could actually have an intimate friendship or relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We could actually know Him. And it's, I think in some ways, human nature, we want to know the black and white standard. Well, do I have to do this? Do I have to do this? Do I have to do this? What do I have to do to earn my gold star? Just like a, you know, kid with a teacher, right? But it's not about obeying a specific law. It's about going after Him and letting Him change you from the inside out, transforming us. Paul talks about a lot in Galatians. He talks about us not living in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if I could use Danielle's story, you know, and I think all of us probably are the same. We invite Jesus into our life because there's a moment of faith in us at some point if we become a Christian. And then the rubber hits the road, and it's the reality of, will I submit or surrender to Jesus, or will I do whatever the flesh leads? And for many of us, we struggle with that. There'll be seasons in our life where, yeah, it's whether it's partying or whether it's living some other way in our flesh where we treat others according to how we feel instead of how God would call us, we live that way. And then we can choose to submit and surrender to Him, and we come back. And that is part of the journey of sanctification. It's a big word, but what it means is being transformed from the inside out, becoming more like Christ. And so there's this picture, and Paul talks about it. You can't live in sin and live in Jesus. You can't be on the fence. We're called to go after Him with all of our heart. And so, and I think one of the beautiful picture, maybe challenging picture is a better way to put it, is that, you know, there's the law, right, which the Jews pushed. You had to be legalistic following this to be close to God. And then there's the other side of it that we see, I think, a lot of today, and that's apathy. And it's just like the zoned out, numb, like I prayed the prayer once, but we don't really believe. We just kind of hang in there and do whatever works in the moment. And all of that leads to death, right? It leads to decay, it leads to harm. What we need is a faith engaged with the Lord to see his life in us. Does that make sense? I mentioned this last week, but many people will say, I believe in God. I think he's out there, you know, but yet they will publicly live differently than what someone claiming to love God or have a relationship with him would look like. And that is, again, not the freedom that Paul is talking about in Galatians. And that's why we need discipleship. The purpose of becoming a Christian is to become like Christ. It's not to look better than someone else. It's not to have some status or something like that. It's to actually become like Jesus, who laid his life down for other people, serving them and loving them and caring for them. Many people are okay with being Christian-ish. I talked about that last week, how, you know, it's we're sort of committed. We're sort of in, right? It's like, I'll be at your place at 2:30-ish. And the person was tall-ish. And, you know, we like the concept sometimes of heaven, or we like the sound of the words of, you know, love that we see in Scripture. But we maybe struggle with actually, or even having the intention of really living it out. Church is a social club. That's cool. We'll go to church and visit with some people. But Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and follow me. And so following Jesus is a daily choice that we make about dying to ourselves, putting him first. And again, it's something that we can't be on the fence and be lukewarm. God, the Bible says that if we're lukewarm, he wants to spit us out. So he says, be in or be out. The invitation is to be in all the way, to know him. And I mentioned this last week, we're not made to stay the same. Like from the moment we're conceived, we grow. When we're born, like if you've ever had a child or a relative has had a child, you see how fast that baby begins to change. And they go from that, whatever, 7, 8, 9, if you're us, 10.5 pound baby. and they don't stay the same long. And next thing you know, they're running and hopefully soon wiping their own butt, right? But that all comes fast. And it's the same spiritually. We get saved, but we're not designed to stay the same spiritually. That relationship that we have with God is meant to grow. And that relationship that we have with God is meant to transform us from the inside out. We should not look the same a week, a month, a year after we get saved. Because we spend time in his word, because we spend time listening to him, and it changes who we are. I mentioned this quote from Life Church. Following Jesus is a one-time decision with a daily commitment. I think it's really true. Following Jesus is a one-time decision with a daily commitment. I have to choose every day to pick up my cross. I have to choose every day to follow him. I have to choose every day to submit to him. And Paul talked about this in Colossians 1. He said the goal of his preaching and teaching was, I'm going to read this whole chunk to you. It says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. And this is his heart, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. His desire was that every single person would grow and be mature in Christ. We actually start to practically live out what it looks like to have a relationship with God. And just naturally, when you start to love people because of God's love in you, when you start to treat them the way he's treated you with forgiveness and grace and mercy, it changes your world and it changes your community even. And as Christians, like a group of people like this, begin to live that out, it impacts an area. Are you guys convinced? So today I just want to focus on a couple things. I want to read this chunk of scripture to you. Galatians 5, starting verse 16. So it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but if you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law. And there's this, again, in Galatians, there's this battle of people saying, to be close to God, you got to follow the law perfectly. You need to be this wonderful religious person, and you have to live up to this standard. And Paul is like, actually, you need to have faith, you need to believe, you need to submit to the Lord and let him change you and be led by him. And the picture, when you read this, the picture is that when we live in the flesh, there's the flesh and the spirit, and there's basically two realms of power that we can choose to submit to, isn't there? Ourselves, whatever feels good in the moment, or we submit to the Lord. Does that make sense? And there's this battle that is going on all the time because the flesh says, do whatever feels good. If you can get ahead by cheating on your taxes, do it. Hey, you can, whatever, steal, cheat, no one's looking. You can get away with it. You can be comfortable and relax and watch TV and watch crap and listen to whatever. You deserve it. Just relax. You deserve. How many times have you heard someone say that? You deserve that. You should go buy that. It's dangerous. Not everything that we might deserve is actually good for us. And so Galatians, just a little bit further in chapter 6, Paul says this in Galatians 6. He says, don't be misled. Or don't be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we've all heard this, what you sow, you reap, right? What you pour into, what you invest in, what you meditate on, what you focus on, what you fill yourself with is what's going to come out in your life. And so part of that is just putting healthy practices and disciplines in effect in your life to produce healthy outcomes. And part of it is also actually submitting spiritually to the Lord, because there's a whole spiritual side of us and we need both. And so Paul's addressing, in the Galatian church that there's fighting. There's, if you, I think I put this up there, Galatians 5, starting at 19:21, I think. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a really strong warning. And you see sometimes lists like this in the Bible. I just want to let you know, this list is not like the specific list. All right, like, I'm good, I don't have that one in my life. That's not the point. Paul is directly speaking contextually, like, to what was going on to this group of people. All right? And it's the same thing, I believe, with the fruit of the Spirit. We often will say, well, there's the 9 fruit of the Spirit. I don't think that's all there is. But Paul is using the list to give us a glimpse, to give us a picture of what it should look like. And so it's really important to understand. I was reading this in a commentary, and I thought they said it really well. It said, living in the flesh is basically unspiritual life. Living in the flesh is unspiritual life. It's not so much like we sometimes think, okay, well, it's living, you know, with my muscle and skin and like flesh of my body. But what Paul is really referring to is your whole being. And you're either in faith and in belief and serving God, or you're out. And so when we're not engaged with him, we're living in our flesh. I hope that helps. It makes sense. But when we don't live in faith, when we don't believe, when we don't actually follow through with that, this is the kind of stuff that our life will produce naturally, because we're living according to the flesh. And so we're called to do better. And, you know, again, it's not something that we're supposed to just put on, it's something we're supposed to allow God to reproduce and change in us. When we try to go the religious way and we shortcut relationship with God, we might look good on the outside, but we don't have the lasting fruit that is supposed to come from the inside. And many times we are led to think, I can just shortcut. What's the fastest way to get my gold star? To be like, I did it. I did what I was supposed to do. Everybody look at me. I was nice today. And instead, we need to learn to surrender to the Lord and let him actually produce kindness in us. So that when somebody's a jerk to us, instead of trying to be legalistic about it, it's like, actually what's coming out of here is kindness. And I hope that makes sense, because I know sometimes it's like, it's kind of, conceptually it's like abstract, right? But the reality is, he wants to change us in here. Not just so that we can have the lip service or the right outward reaction to look good. Otherwise, we end up in hypocrisy somewhere. We're going to fall short. You guys with me? All right. What else do I want to say before we get going? I really think it's important to understand this concept. Paul's heart is that we living in the Spirit, the idea of living in the Spirit, again, is a picture of a person with their life surrendered to the Lord. It's this idea of living in the Spirit is not that you're better than someone. It's not that you are more spiritual. It's just simply a life of surrender. And if we live in the flesh, it's an unspiritual walk, right? It's living in an unspiritual way, not giving ourselves to him. And so there's this concept, and at the start of Galatians 5, we talked about last week about this chunk of scripture where it says that it is for freedom that Christ has set you free, right? And when you go on to verse 4, I don't know if I put that one up there, but I'll read it to you here. It says, you've become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. And again, it's this picture that Paul keeps attacking, that you guys, you try to make yourself right without Jesus by living a certain way. And many times I think, just without even really thinking about it, we can sometimes try and prove ourselves without actually being connected to Jesus in the way that we live. But we think, I have to show everyone how good I am. I have to show everyone, you know, I've got it all figured out. And instead of, again, coming with Christ, everything is supposed to be in relationship with him. And it comes back to that. And so he wants us to submit. He wants us to fall into that. And the issue when he says falling from grace is not one of eternal salvation, but it's actually one about effective relationship with Christ. When we fall out of grace, it's because we've fallen out of submitting to him and seeing the effect of him changing your life. And so to fall from grace is to move from one, if you want to call it a domain of power, to another. It's to go from living a spirit-filled life and being engaged with God to living in the flesh. And you lose the impact that Jesus died for you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. We're going to take communion as we end today. And I really hope, I know I'm kind of bouncing around because I didn't know how much time I was going to have. So it's all good. No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's totally good. I'm trying to make sure that I make sense and not babble on forever. But I want you to understand that Paul's heart for us is that it's not about striving and trying to put on a performance. Again, I love how we don't have to behave to belong to Jesus. We just believe. We have to engage our belief. And it's in that belief and it's in that faith. See, when we live in a law or we live in a way that is apathetic, where we just, whatever happens, happens, then our faith is not engaged, is it? We don't actually believe. Because if I believe that Jesus died for me, if I believe that he came to set me free, if I believe that I have no condemnation, I have no shame, that he took all the sin out of my life, I can live a whole lot differently than if I'm just numb to whatever. It's like whatever happens, happens. If I believe that God loves me no matter what, I live differently. But there has to be an act of faith going on in here to actually walk that out. And if I believe that God says who he says he is in the Bible, if I believe that he actually wants to speak to me, then I will live differently because I want to hear his voice. Because if he's there, I really want to actually know him. And if I believe that he says he'll follow through and that all his promises are yes and amen, then I might just even be willing to step out and try pray for somebody. Because if he says he's with me and that he's for me and that he hears every prayer, he might even answer one. I can't remember exactly, but I think the Jews added something like 613 laws. 613 laws to the law that God gave them, to the instructions he gave them. And over and over and over and over in the Bible, it says that Jesus came to set us free from the law. And you know what he really wants is for you to believe, for you to reach out to him, because you don't have to have it all figured out. You just come exactly how you are and say, God, I'm a mess and I need you. I believe in you and I surrender to you. Help. And when we choose to do that every single day, then our faith begins to grow. Because you know what's really cool if you've been a Christian for any amount of time and you've actually lived in faith, is you find out this actually is true. And it works. And so when I go and pray for somebody, I've seen God heal many people. I've seen God protect me and provide for me and provide for others. Why? Because I believe in faith that God is real and he's here with me today. And I believe it every single day when I wake up that thank you, God, that you're with me. And even in the midst of my imperfectness, I can call on you and you're here. And you're not as stressed about all that as me surrendering my heart to you and you changing my attitude so that next time something shows up on a movie or something, I'm willing to shut it off or turn away and not just sit there and be like, eh, whatever. Because I believe that God's real and with me and he doesn't want me to fill my life with that crap. And next time that somebody starts gossiping about somebody, I'm not willing to stand there and let them trash someone else. I'll either say, let's go talk to them, or please stop. Because I believe that God's real and that nobody should speak about someone else like that because they're his kids and he made them. So I won't put up with that stuff because I believe. Not because I'm better than someone else, but I believe that God's with me. And the cool thing is even when I was a young kid, 5-6 years old, I can't remember where we were talking about this the other day, youth or something. Anyway, we were talking about how, yeah, it was at youth. We were talking about prayer. Where's Connie? There's Connie. And I shared with the kids, like I was 5 or 6 years old, whatever it was, when I burned my hand on a stove. I had turned on a burner and I leaned up on the stove like this and I branded my hand. Every single ring coil was sunk into my hand really badly. At 5 or 6 years old, I didn't know all the religious words to say. I didn't even know the scriptures that tell me that I can pray. But I was told that Jesus is real, and I believed in him. And I had read and I had heard some of the stories that he healed people. And as a practice, and this is where spiritual discipline is good and discipleship is good, we prayed as a family all the time. Every night, we would pray. And I remember that simply praying, Lord, help. I didn't have all the fancy words. I didn't have a 5-minute prayer. Good news is you don't need a 5-minute prayer. Jesus, help. And my hand came out of the water like that after I'd had it in an ice bucket of water for a long time. And you know how burns go when they're bad. They blister and they scar and I had nothing. And I saw as a kid that, hey, God's real. Prayer works. And I've seen him do it over and over and over and over again. And I've seen him be faithful in my life over and over and over, even when I don't deserve it. And I'm thankful that today when I wake up, I know that I don't have to be perfect. I just have to try my best to love him. That's the goal. And when I fall in love with him, I recognize he's right here with me. He's filling me. He's living inside of me. And that means I'm going to treat you differently. Because the God who loved me and had grace for me and welcomed me and invited me in the midst of all my mess, he's the same with you. And if he can love me and forgive me, he can love you and forgive you too. So every single one of us, if we want to become a Christian, has made the choice to freely receive the gift of salvation from Jesus. We didn't earn it. Not a single one of us earned it. And not a single one of us deserve it. But it's a free gift that he gives us, and he's inviting us to partake in every single day. It's a one-time decision and a daily commitment. And the beauty is that as we get to know the Holy Spirit, he takes us into a whole depth of relationship with him that is life-transforming and changing. And we get to experience the power of God and the goodness of God and the fullness of life that Jesus said he paid for us to have on this earth. And so as we jump into the fruit of the Spirit over the next number of weeks and talk about these, I will just say this. The fruit of the Spirit is the outward expression of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's this fruit that grows and is expressed as a person willingly dies to what Christ has died to, so that the Spirit may bring life to us in Christ. How many want to change? Then we have to surrender. We have to die to ourselves. And we have to choose to fall in love with Jesus and run after him. So we're going to play a song, and I just need a little bit of help here with the communion. If I could get you to hand those out. You got it. There's gluten-free there, crackers if you need. Colin, do you mind helping me out? We're just going to sing a song, we'll take communion together, and then pray. And I just